Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze coming to you to let you know that one of the organizations that has been birthed out of Bethany Baptist Church is the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies. This fall, we will be offering four classes: Right to Life, Right to Choose. In this, we'll look at the subject of abortion and give us a more comprehensive perspective in light of God's Word. American Sign Language, where we teach people how to sign to the deaf culture in the Christian context. We also have biblical counseling, where we train people how to use the Bible to counsel others. And then we have apologetics, where we defend the Christian faith. The classes begin this fall. They are all Zoom classes, so you can take them right from the convenience of your home. If you are interested or want more information, call 412-242-3255. To register or for more information, call 412-242-3255. God bless you as you listen to the message today.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today as we continue in Psalms with the first half of Count Your Days So That Your Days Will Count from Psalm 90. So if you have your Bible, please open it to Psalm 90 and let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Count Your Days So That Your Days Will Count.
And as we turn to this 90th Psalm, we're going to look at the whole Psalm, but let's start out in verse 12. Where Moses writes, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." And the title of the message this morning is, "Count Your Days So That Your Days Will Count." Count your days so that your days will count. Muhammad Ali, he said, "Don't count the days, but make the days count." And so we want to challenge you today with the fact of getting the most out of your days to the glory of God. One thing that all of us need to realize is that our days are coming to an end. And I had a slide that I was going to refer to later, but I'll say it now. Somebody said that life is like toilet paper, that it unrolls pretty quick, and the nearer you get to the end of it, the faster it goes. And that's the way life is. Our lives are coming to an end. There was a man who made a pact with death. And he said to death, "If you would just let me know when you're coming, I'll be ready for you." And so death said, "Okay." And so the man lived out his years. And it was one cold winter evening that he heard a knock at the door. And it was death. And death opened the door and walked in, and the man was startled. And he said, "I thought you were going to let me know when you were coming." And death said, "I did let you know. I turned your hair gray and you dyed it. I let your hearing go bad. You got a hearing aid. Your sight was growing dim and you got eyeglasses. I let you know that I was coming." And so I'm here today to tell you that life is coming to an end for all of us. And it would behoove us to take this scripture that Moses gives us here to heart, to teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I share this following illustration at some of the homegoing services that I preach at, and that is there was an article in the Daily Bread, and in the Daily Bread, the title of the article was, "If you are 35, you only have 500 days to live." Wow, if that doesn't grab our attention. If you are 35, you only have 500 days to live. And then the article went on to talk about how that, you know, most of us will sleep for 8 hours, and then we will work for 7 hours or 8 hours, and then the time that we spend preparing to go to work, the time we spend eating, the time we spend in trivial matters. One of the most frustrating things is that in the city of Pittsburgh, there are certain lights that are absolutely ridiculous. And when you pull up to them, you sit there. And I've never pulled out my phone and timed how long that you sit there, but you sit there for an extended period of time. And it's just very frustrating when you sit there. And so when you think about, just add up. Now, I know where I live at. You know, and when I leave here going home, you know, there's about three lights that are crazy. That if you don't get them, you're sitting there for a while. And, you know, I was thinking, just, you know, if I come over here 5 days a week and I hit those lights a couple times, you know, going back, you know, hit one or two of those lights going back, that actually, that could be about 5 minutes a day that I'm sitting at lights doing nothing. And can you imagine if you take that 5 minutes a day, and I've been pastor here for going on now 26 years. It was 25 last year. And if I did that, can you imagine the amount of time that would be spent just doing nothing, wasting time sitting at a light? And yet and still, these things begin to add up. And so the article went on to talk about that. You know, if you got a bad computer, just think about how long you sit in front of the computer waiting for the computer to boot up. That's why I try to go do some laundry or, you know, something else, because I don't want to waste my time just sitting there waiting for a computer to start up. But just think, if you go and you start your computer up every day and you sit there and wait for your computer to boot up, and if it takes a minute or 2 minutes every day, just allow that to accumulate, time that you just spent sit there waiting for it to boot up. And then the article talked about that the actual time that you have to do with whatever you want to do with is 500 days. Now, that's the bad news. Well, that's the good news. Let me say that. That's the good news, is that you have 500 days. Well, what's the bad news? The bad news is that most of us are older than 35. So this means that that 500 days is cut in half for some of us. It may even reduce more than that. And so we need to begin to value our days. He said here, count your days. Now, what does it mean? Does that mean that get up every day and say 1, 2, 3, 4? You know, there are people in the Bible that counted their days. If you look in the book of Luke 16, we see a man that counted his days. Luke 16. I think it's Luke 16. Or no, Luke 12. Excuse me, Luke 12. And Jesus, in verse 16, Luke chapter 12 and verse 16, and Jesus spoke a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, what shall I do, because I have no place to bestow my crops? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater barns, and there bestow all my crops and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for what? Many years. He counted his days. And what did he fill his days with? He filled his days with material possessions. He filled his days with the things that he could accumulate. So to count your days does just not mean to count them one by one. In the book of James, we read about some businessmen who said that they would go here and do this, and tomorrow they would do that, and they counted their days with business. And so when Moses says for us to count our days, he's not talking about count our days and fill them with material things. He's not talking about count our days and fill them with business deals. He says count your days and fill them with those things that glorify the Lord. Teach me, Lord, to number my days that I may apply my heart unto wisdom. And we need to realize how precious time is. If you would go to the poem. Oh, that's hard to see. Hey, can anybody see that? Oh. I can't see it. So I'm going to have to read it off my notes. All right. Dr. Benjamin E. Mays, he said this: it's only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it. But it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it. Give an account if I abuse it. Just a little minute, but eternity is in it. Just a minute. Just a minute. What are you doing with your time? Are you using your time? Are you wasting your time? Are you abusing your time? You see, in Psalm 90, if you'll go to the next slide, hopefully I can see that one. Oh, okay. All right. Let me go off of this one. All right. In Psalm 90, this is a prayer of Moses. And he begins, if you'll turn back to Psalm 90, he begins talking about the eternality of God. The eternality of God. He says in verse 1, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He starts by talking about the fact that God is eternal, that God has been here from eternity past, and God will continue to be here throughout eternity in the future. The eternality of God. And just think of how unfathomable that is, that God has always been around. That there is never a time that God wasn't. And so if you miss this, then you kind of miss the point of the whole psalm. Thou hast been our dwelling place in every generation, starting with Adam. Every generation, Lord, you have been our dwelling place. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And then he shifts the focus from the eternality of God to the finiteness of man. To say that we need to begin to come to grips with our own finiteness. First of all, he says that we're like dust. Notice in verse 3, he said that thou turnest man to destruction, and say, return ye children of men. The word destruction actually in the Hebrew means to ground to powder. To ground to powder. I think the NIV translates it that dust, or to ground up in a powdery substance. And so we are like dust that appears and then we're no longer here. From dust you were created, and unto dust you shall return. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Before the mountains, before the world, then God created the world. And then he took man out of the dust of the earth. He took man out of the clay. He took man out of the dirt. You are nothing but dirt. You know, there was a guy, he lived to be 118 years old. And somebody asked him, what did he owe the longevity of his life to? And he said, I guess I was just made out of good dirt. That you come from dirt. And you know what? You're going to go right back to dirt. You know, people ask me, well, what about people that get cremated? Right? How's God going to raise their body up? Well, if you be around long enough, it's going to turn to dust. So he can raise up dust just as well as he can raise up ashes. But you're going back to dust. And so Moses lets us know the finiteness of man by saying that you are like dust. And then he says you are like grass. That in verse 5, he says, you carry them away with the flood. They are like asleep. In the morning, they are like grass which grows up. In the morning, it flourishes. The grass grows up, flourishes. It grows up. In the evening, it is cut down and withers away. You're going to be like a piece of grass. That you're growing up right now. And you get older every day as you grow. And then one day you are just going to wither away. And you're going to be cut down like that piece of grass. And just cease to exist. Moses is trying to get people to understand that you're not going to be here forever. He's trying to get them to understand their own mortality. Now you got to keep in mind, Moses is journeying through the wilderness. And as he goes through the wilderness, that only two people that started out with him, as far as that were 20 years of age and younger, only two people that started out are going to make it, Joshua and Caleb. Now watch this. What happens to everybody else? They're dying. They're dying right there in the wilderness. As they journeyed those 40 years, Moses is losing people left and right. He's seeing people close their eyes in death and leave this life. On one occasion, when some people rose up against Moses, thousands of people were killed at one time. Death is all around him. And he looks at the eternality of God and says, wow, from everlasting to everlasting. And then he begins to reflect on man. And he says that man is like dust. Man is like grass. And then he says in verse 9, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years a tale that is told. Again, the Hebrew reads, we finish our years with a moan. I've been at the bed of many people who are getting ready, at the bedside of many people who are getting ready to go home to be with the Lord. And it's interesting that people leave this life in different ways. Some just give their last breath, and that's it. And some people, according to this scripture right here, end their life with a, and it's done. And it's done. Some people end their life with a, and it's done. And everything that you did in your life, your whole life that you lived, when it comes to that last breath on your bed, God describes it right here. He says, we spend our years and we live them out and we expire with our last breath that we take. The finiteness of man. The reality that you're going to leave. And then, to top it all off, in verse 10, he says that your days are limited. Verse 10, the days of our years are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Now, there's a lot of controversy around this, but basically, if we take this verse at face value, what Moses is saying is that the average lifespan of a person, now you got to believe, Moses lived to be 120 years old. So he's saying this in the midst of him being 120. He said the average lifespan of a person is 70, and if they are blessed beyond measure, then 80 years. Now we know today that people are living longer than that, but let's not lose the point that he's trying to make. The point that he's trying to make is that your life is coming to an end, that your days are numbered. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. That word appointed is very interesting. It means to be laid aside. That the minute that you came into this world screaming, that the minute you came into this world crying, that God already knew, and the day was already appointed for you to die. We are limited. That when you think about this whole idea of how that God is eternal. And that's why he starts by talking about the eternality of God. Because he's letting us know that God is eternal. But you are just a little drop in the ocean of eternity. So we roll into verse 12. After he paints that morbid picture. We roll into verse 12. Man, somebody get this morning. Somebody get this. The eternality of God, the finiteness of man. And then we roll into verse 12 where he says, teach us. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. And so I have three things this morning that I want to share with you. Three principles. The first principle is what I call the principle of eternality. The principle of eternality. And that basically says this. Days that count must be measured against the backdrop of eternity. Days that count must be measured against the backdrop of eternity. If you just live your life for now, you're going to miss it. If you just live your life for now, you're going to miss it. But if you think in terms of eternity, then you have really grasped the meaning of life. You're not going to be here forever. That what you do now counts. What you are doing for God counts in eternity.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Count Your Days So That Your Days Will Count from Psalm 90. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Count Your Days So That Your Days Will Count, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Count Your Days So That Your Days Will Count. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Count Your Days So That Your Days Will Count. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.